Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Mego and Shime on WEEI.
It all starts with always one thing, usually with me. Does he have the physical ability to be great and special, right? And that's the first thing I see. When you talk about the great quarterbacks of all time, right, they have great physical attributes. There's not like some mythical, oh, he wills the team or does this, right? Mm-hmm. No matter who it is, there is something special physically.
Blake May has that next level type skill that you need with that arm.
Exactly right. You saw all the explosive plays he made last year. Now, hey, listen, the training wheels were still on to a degree. The offense was basic. They managed him a little bit. But the athletic ability, like, first off, there's no denying that. And the ability to run, take off, and not just get 5 yards, get 20, 30 yards. He's got that type of running ability. He does play big in the pocket. His arm and some of the mechanical issues I worried about, he fixed them. He didn't fix all of it, but it certainly was a good start that made me feel a lot better. And then, yes, his ability to make big game-changing throws popped off the screen all year last year. That was one of the best things he did. Now it's just the next step we got to take in his development, and that's why I'm saying, like, there was a lot I liked, but I just like to see a little bit more before I have him jump people like Tua or Dak Prescott, who I've seen do it at a decently high level for a pretty long time here.
That was Chris Sims of NBC Sports joining our buddy Tom E. Curran on his Patriots Talk podcast from NBC Sports Boston. Megan Adelini here with Chris Scheim. Chris Scheim is... he's on vacation. He's in Michigan golfing right now. Hopefully a lot better than he did in Quincy. But he's on a little golf vacation. So I have John Lyons with me until 4 o'clock. And we're turning our attention to the Patriots. And more specifically, as you hear there, Drake May. So I'm wondering, Lyons, did you happen to check out Chris Sims's pyramid of quarterback rankings, which I think is a little bit of a cop-out?
Oh, you mean how he doesn't put numbers next to guys anymore?
Yes, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay, so for those unfamiliar, Chris Sims from NBC Sports Boston, he puts together what he calls a pyramid, but it's not even like a graph of a pyramid. It's just different descriptions, and then he throws guys underneath them, and he does all 46 quarterbacks that are in the NFL. This is rich coming from me because about a half hour, we're going to dive into the tiers that I put the wide receivers on the Patriots right now into all 12 of them. But at least that's like, hey, it's very early. This is basically who I think is going to make the team and who's not going to make the team. This is, you say you're ranking 46 quarterbacks in the NFL, and you're really just throwing little descriptors and throwing two at a time in there. That's what this list is. We get the first half of it, and Drake May is in the bottom half.
And I think there's some fairness to that. Like, I think maybe he's a little too low, but to Sims's point, you look at the situation May was in last year. It wasn't just the worst situation of a rookie quarterback last year. You could make the case it was the worst situation of any quarterback in the NFL last year. And we're talking lame duck head coach who was in over his head. We're talking about a lame duck offensive coordinator who at times seemed in over his head. The worst offensive line in the league. The worst skill group in the league overall, especially at receiver. So May didn't have a lot to work with. Now, there are things he can correct, and of course, the one we're going to talk about, and the one everyone points to, is the turnovers, and he has to get better at that. But I think you just didn't see enough from May last year. I mean, you look at, he won three games, but two of them he didn't finish, right? One of them was that wonderful Joe Milton win, which prevented you from getting the first overall pick. But the other one was the Jets game where Brissett had to come in relief of him after he got hurt, and Brissett ended up winning you that game. So I look at it as there was a lot to like from Drake May, but I think there's still a lot we need to see going forward, especially with a new coaching staff, a revamped skill group, a revamped offensive line. There's still a lot of things that we still need to see before we put him in, a higher category.
So I think that's mostly fair. Here's the description that Chris Sims puts in the article that he released. I think it was yesterday. Either way, it was at the end of the week. He says, for Drake May, the Patriots only won four games last season, but May was not the reason why. While the former North Carolina Tar Heel has a lot to improve, including his throwing form and decision-making, the big play ability is there, and he could have a good year under Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel. So he puts him in this tier that he calls need more info, and he puts him alongside Michael Penix from the Falcons, who, of course, only started three games last season. I would say you have a pretty different amount of data on those two quarterbacks, so I don't love them being there together, especially when you look at the other quarterbacks who are in that class. J.J. McCarthy, kind of off on his own because he's a total mystery. But he has this other category, Sims does, that's called ready to launch. And he says, much like needs more info, this tier features two rookie quarterbacks. These rookies have Sims much more excited than Penix Jr. and May. And he has Bo Nix, who he says has a powerful arm, quick release, and special ability to push the ball down the field, has the ability, the potential with Sean Payton to become a deadly duo for years to come. And then he throws Caleb Williams, of course, of the Bears in there as well, and attributes his issues to organizational failures. Here's where I feel a little annoyed, John, and you can tell me if I'm being like too Drake sympathetic. I think that Drake and Caleb are in pretty equitable situations, except that Caleb's was easier than Drake's last season. I think in comparison to what they had to put up with versus what they showed, Drake showed more against having to put up with more, and Caleb showed less, and I think was less exciting to his own fan base in the face of an organization that sure was dysfunctional, but at least tried to set up stuff around him going into the season. The Patriots didn't even try. They didn't even sign players. They didn't give Jerod Mayo anybody. They barely had a functional staff there. And so I don't understand why Caleb Williams gets to be in this ready-to-launch tier while Drake May is like kicking back somewhere with Michael Penix, who only started three games.
Yeah, and I think that's largely fair. And I think you could probably upgrade Drake May, maybe, if you want to call it, up one tier, if you will, to the ready-to-launch. And look, Bo Nix was in a better situation than both of them, and he probably still is, right? And nothing against Josh McDaniels or Mike Vrabel, but Sean Payton's a Super Bowl-winning head coach, and it's their second year working together. But yeah, Caleb Williams, to me, I think some of this still stems from, this is a guy that was a Heisman Trophy winner and all this hype coming out of college, because frankly, I thought Drake May was better than Caleb Williams last year. Now, Drake May had the turnover issues. There was more inconsistencies. I think Caleb Williams' situation was probably just as bad, maybe even a little worse than May's, because all the things you just said about May were correct. But Caleb Williams had, what, two different offensive coordinators and two different head coaches during the year. I mean, his head coach blew a game on Thanksgiving and got fired the next day or 2 days later, whatever it was. So I think his situation was really, really bad. And I think there's also, I think, and maybe Sims looks at it this way, there's people around the NFL that they just look at Caleb Williams as maybe a little bit more quote-unquote pro-ready than they do Drake May, because he did have that more experience in college and he started sooner for the
Bears.
I get that. But
John,
I'd rather have May going forward in this situation, too.
When you hear people around the league talking about like pro ready, it's just a way of saying more polished, right? Like,
yeah,
polished,
and they just have more experience. Like Bo Nix, you could say, was pro ready because he was in college for like 15 years.
maybe like more mature decision making is another attribute that you throw in there for the quarterback. But that's like when you talk about guys going into training camp who you've never seen before. I'm done talking about whether guys are pro ready or not when you're Caleb Williams and you were starter the entire year last year, or you're Drake and you took over halfway through and you're going to be the starter, you're going to be a captain this year. Like, we can't talk about pro ready or not. Like, you are a pro. We're past that. So if you look at it and you say, you can tell me, I feel like Caleb Williams is a better decision maker. I would say I think that Caleb Williams is way too hesitant. And I think in his own head, in a way that I would rather see somebody like Drake, who seems able to just kind of shake something off and move on. Like, I think that it's a little ticky-tack. But it all comes down to, I think why I wanted to focus on this is because this is one of the first lists or categorizations of quarterbacks where it isn't like the hype train flying off the rails for Drake May and the rest of the Patriots now under Mike Vrabel. I know that you're not overwhelming, but I would say mostly like pretty positive, pretty optimistic about this team compared to where they were last year. But what are your expectations for who you think you're going to see Drake May be as a starting quarterback for an entire season?
Yeah, well, first is, can he get through the entire season, right? Because he did leave that Jets game with a concussion last year. He got beat up quite a bit. He was sacked 34 times. So, like, number one, I want to see him get through the year. But I look at it, to me, Mego, the number one key thing here is the turnovers. And it's the 10 interceptions. It's the fumbling problems from a year ago. And again, look, he was in a terrible situation. He was a rookie. And a couple of those interceptions, one of them against Arizona, went off Kayshon Booty's hands and he basically tossed it to the defender. Another one against the Colts hit Hunter Henry in the hands and he basically tossed it to a defender. So it wasn't all him. But I look at the interception to end the game against Tennessee in overtime, the interception to end the game against the Rams. Like, those are the type of things you need to avoid. The interception in the end zone against Buffalo, and then you follow that up with that backwards pass fiasco thing that was not all his fault, but partly his fault. So it's the turnover numbers, but also the bad times that those turnovers came at. Like, that's the biggest thing. And I think if he can limit those, Mego, we'll be talking about him as maybe in that 12 to 15 range of quarterbacks in the NFL, maybe just skirting the top 10. And then if he continues that, then maybe 2 years from now, we'll be talking about him in that top 6, 7, maybe even top 5 range. But he's got to start from the ground up when it comes to the turnover. Because to me, that's right now his biggest limit. You see the arm talent. You see at times really good decision making. You see, you know, at times really good leadership. But then again, at times you see those bad decisions, those bad turnovers. And again, not all on him, but it's something that's by far the biggest thing I'm watching for him this year.
And as we moved through OTAs, I think that's why that first practice, when he threw the 4 interceptions through 8 throws that he had in that competitive period, that's why people lost their minds. When they started, I don't think the media really, like us who were down there, who were writing about it, lost our minds. We just said this is what it looked like and it was ugly. But the reaction to it was so strong because it was like, oh my God, we're going to have this regression where we're going to watch this kid who finally has a coach who is experienced enough to understand what he's doing. And then we have this regression from him where we're going to be watching like 2 interceptions a game and it's going to be crazy turnovers. Like, is that what we have to prepare for? I do think it's notable that as you move through OTAs, the 3 practices that we got to see, even though it's shells and shorts, that he made progress. He kind of went from he throws these stupid turnovers in a competitive period to looking up and down and kind of inaccurate in the next competitive period the following week to Monday of this week, where I thought he looked really great. Like, I thought overall he looked much more the way that you wanted him to. I thought his throws were much more accurate. I thought that he had a beautiful deep ball to Ramondre Stevenson, which was nice because he had come back from bereavement leave. But before we even get into minicamp, John, what do you think you can actually take from OTAs? Like, are we just spinning our wheels because we don't want to talk about this stupid, crappy Red Sox anymore?
Yeah, and the like, Celtics being eliminated early. Yeah, look.
We're looking over at OTAs, hopefully going, oh, look, Drake's already figuring it out.
Yeah, like the 4 of 8 and the 4 picks that first day, I was really like, okay, I'm not. That really had no impact on me because the way I look at it is If he's doing things like that in minicamp this week, okay, then I'll be concerned. If he's doing things like that in training camp, then I'll be – because the difference is minicamp is, you know, it's a few weeks later, so he has more experience in the system. They actually have pads on. Like, so then to me, it's a little bit more closer to where is this guy actually at? Where is an unpadded practice the first week of OTAs or whatever? Like, I'm not – what I want to know then – is he actually understanding the new system and working with Josh McDaniels and being able to progress from there? And that's something that I think, to your point, it seems like he's gotten better and better at that. And another thing, too, which I think you're going to see a lot with McDaniels, and Drake May talked to me about this in December when he came on the afternoon show. I was filling in one day. He said he wants to get better at hitting checkdowns, and I think that's something he does need to get better at. And I think there's been some progress of that in OTAs, but that's another thing to look at for mini camp as well. So, like, again, the early OTAs, you throw some interceptions. Yeah, it's not good, but I'm not really worried about it. It's how does he look in mini camp when guys are in pads, things are a little bit faster? Has he made progress from that first couple OTA sessions to mini camp? And does he make progress from mini camp to training camp? Because especially in his situation, second year guy with a new head coach, new OC, like, really, that's what I'm looking for with him this coming week.
Yeah, when you talk about his focus on the checkdowns, being able to basically settle, make the smart play, yeah, and say, okay, it's not there, I'm not going to force it. I feel like his version of the checkdowns became just running it out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, became just taking off, because on the one hand, he's trying to make something happen. And on the other hand, he would see an opening and he can run. So I think it'll be interesting to see as we get more exposure to Josh McDaniels' offense and what he actually wants to run and incorporate here, if we're going to still see flashes of that, or if it's going to all be designed runs, which we didn't see a lot of, especially in the red zone last year for a quarterback who's such a good runner. Like, I heard Andy Hart debating this, and I'm curious your perspective on it. He said he was listening to Mina Kimes from ESPN, who says, hey, like, you got to incorporate, you got to get Drake running more. Don't you want Drake running more because he's such a great runner? And Andy doesn't. Like, he wants him to develop the arm and be more comfortable in the pocket and improve his presence there. And I just don't think that's how you play quarterback anymore. And you may expose yourself to more injury, but Lions, like, do you think that the focus needs to be more so on his pocket presence and chucking the ball and making the right reads, or do you still let this wild Mustang run free as guys like our guy Chris Schein wants to see?
Yeah, I think no matter what era of the NFL you're in, the biggest things about being a quarterback are accuracy and decision making. So those are the biggest things I want him to continue. I mean, the accuracy is pretty good, but the decision making, that's the biggest thing. I mentioned it with the turnovers and working in the pocket. As far as the running goes, I think that should be a secondary thing. Like, they should run him more than they did last year. Like, remember last year, there was just that refusal to basically ever run him. Like, that should be something that when they're in third and one or fourth and short or something like that, like, Drake May can be a weapon when you do that. I don't want him running all over the place. I want him playing within the structure of the offense in the pocket and moving the ball down the field that way.
And with experience, like, looking in his own class, the kid, he doesn't have the same exact raw talent, but he's not built like Jaden Daniels. Like, he's not this twig. He's a big kid.
He still, I think, needs to get a little bit bigger than he was a year ago, at least on his torso. But I agree with you 100%, right? Jaden Daniels is like 150 pounds. Like, it's a lot different, and I'm exaggerating, but he is built differently than that for sure.
Jaden Daniels, like, compared to Drake May, he looks like Chet Holmgren to cross sports. We're going to continue with our Patriots talk on the other side. When we come back, we are going to talk about minicamp, which starts on Monday, what we're looking forward to seeing from these Patriots as they finally are all mandatorily together. But first, we have the trend with Zacho.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Yankees 9-6, the final in the Bronx. First inning woes continued for the Sox as Walker Buehler allowed 5 runs in that first inning. Wasn't all bad though. Sox top prospect Marcelo Meyer launched his first major league home run. With the loss, the Sox have now lost 7 of their last 10, sit 5 games under 500 and 10.5 games back of the Yankees in the AL East. They'll look to bounce back tonight with the pig, Garrett Crochet, on the mound. opposite Ryan Yarbrough for the Yankees. You can hear that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Coverage starting at 6:35 with Joe Weil on the MassMutual pregame show. Then the Wills, Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks, will have the call of the game. First pitch from Yankee Stadium at 7:35. Patriots OTAs have wrapped down at Gillette. They open mandatory minicamp on Monday afternoon. Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers evened up the Stanley Cup Finals, one game apiece last night with a 5-4 overtime win. Marchand with two goals, including the OT winner. Series shifts back to Florida for Game 3 on Thursday night. Tyrese Halliburton and the Indiana Pacers stole Game 1 in Oklahoma City with a jumper with 0.3 seconds left on the clock on Thursday night. Game 2 goes down tomorrow at 8 o'clock back in OKC. My name is Zach Ho, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and Lions coming up after this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time now for Mego and Shime on WEEI.
So this is fascinating. What led to his contract extension was that he was almost traded during this offseason because he went to the Ravens, wanted a new deal. They essentially said no, but they gave him permission to seek a trade. So he went out on the open market, talked to teams, and I was told there were several involved or had interest. Dallas Cowboys, New England Patriots, Green Bay Packers. So he saw he had a market. Yeah. The Ravens saw that and said, okay, we'll just pay you instead. We won't trade you.
There you hear Jeremy Fowler talking about Ravens wide receiver Rashad Bateman. Patriots were in the mix along with Cowboys and some other teams reportedly looking at Bateman as a possible wide receiver. We know that they made some moves bringing in Steph Diggs and Mac Hollins. But to me, outside of Drake May, the receivers are far and away the most intriguing part of what we're looking at in minicamp this week, John Lyons. And John Lyons and myself, Megan Ottolini, will be with you up until 4 o'clock when Rob Bradford will take over with Baseball Isn't Boring. But before we turn our attention over to the receiver room, how deep it is with bodies but questionable in talent, let's go to Fred in the car, who wants to talk about Drake May and OTAs.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing, Fred?
Good. Hey, you know, we keep talking about Drake May and, you know, he looks good in camp and everything. He's had a couple, you know, misses and everything. Can we attribute a lot of this to the fact that he's going against Gonzalez and Davis III and a really good safeties group out there? I mean, you know, I mean, I think Davis and Gonzalez are, you know, head to head, those are the two best corners, you know, the best pairing in the league.
Thank you, Fred. I think it's fair to always look at the defense, and especially at this point in the summer. I've asked Vrabel about this, and he kind of brushed it off, but it's clear that the defense is further along than the offense, right?
Yeah, John and Lyons, usually at this time of the year, and Davis wasn't even there every day, right?
No, he wasn't there this week.
Yeah, right.
And hey, to Fred's point, Drake May had a great Monday when Carlton Davis wasn't there, so maybe it's all about Carlton Davis targets.
And I think, to me, the biggest thing I attribute it to is we have a young quarterback here learning a brand-new offense, right? Like, so there's going to be some bumps in the road there, and the guy who should be his best receiver, Stephon Diggs, hasn't really been out there that much, and obviously when he's been out there, he's been limited because he has coming off an injury. So I think that has more to do with it than anything else. And yes, the defense, I think, should be much better than it was a year ago. I think Gonzalez and Davis have the potential to be the best cornerback duo in the entire NFL. I think the safety group is slightly overrated right now, is just based off what they have last year and what they have coming back. But it's still, I think, a pretty good group. And the defense, like I said, should be better than last year. So that's part of it. But to me, it's just much more about a young quarterback learning a brand new system. And it's not just the quarterback, too, right? Like, the receivers are learning a brand new system. The tight ends, outside of Hunter Henry, this is a new system for all of them. So it's all those guys getting on the same page, too. So I think that's the biggest part here.
Right. Everybody's learning right now. It's the learning portion of the summer. Even Josh McDaniels kind of reiterated that old Belichickism at practice this week. They're not in the competitive portion yet. It's not about guys trying to beat out other guys for positions on the 53-man roster. It's about learning the systems, fixing your mistakes, not repeating your mistakes. That's all well and good. The thing you said there, John, that I think should make Patriots fans more optimistic than they've been in recent years is you saying that there is any part of the Patriots that could be an elite unit within the NFL. When's the last time, seriously,
it's been a long
when you could look time. At any position group, and we're just talking about corners here and the 1-2 punch that you have in that secondary, when's the last time, and who was it, that you could look at the Patriots and say, that's the best room in the league?
I would say maybe like 2021 when they still had Devin McCourty at safety. You could say that's one of the better rooms.
And even then, like, that's the best safety room. Sorry, that's not a premium position group compared to even corner.
It's a great question, Mega. Like, when was the last time they had the best? I mean, I guess when Tom Brady was here in 2019, you had the best quarterback in the league, so you had the best room there technically. But yeah, it's been a while, and I really believe, I mean, Gonzalez is an all-pro player. Carlton Davis has been an, you know, all-pro adjacent player. At least he's been a really, really good player. And I know Davis is coming off the injury, but it's a broken jaw, which I'm not trying to minimize, but it's not like it's a hip injury that's going to mess with his fluidity or an arm injury that's going to mess with him pressing guys or whatnot. And you just look at last year, Detroit played the most man coverage in the NFL. I bet you Vrabel and Terrell Williams will want to play a lot of man coverage. Gonzalez has already shown he's good at that. So I think the two of them together could end up being the best, at least outside corner duo in the NFL. And you're right. It's been a long time since we said they had a room or a group that could be the best or near the best at something in the league.
That's something very real, I think, that fans should feel optimistic about. The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to text in on join the conversation that way, or if you want to call in and talk Patriots. Minicamp starts on Monday. We'll be looking forward to seeing everybody there. We got our first glimpse of Stephon Diggs in person since he had a little press conference when he first signed with the Patriots about a month and a half ago, or whenever that was at this point. And I gotta say, John, I was pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed. Steph Diggs made headlines for all the wrong reasons at the end of last week, and whether you think that he had something very illicit or just borderline a bad look in that baggie of pink stuff on the boat, like for all that and all that distraction, and whether you want to be, I don't know, pessimistic about if he's going to be able to keep the distractions at a minimum, I'll say that he looked much healthier and much more confident in his body when he was even moving through individual drills in Monday's practice. And I know a lot of other people have said this, but when you signed him, I was like, do not rush him to get him out there for week one, because you want him to just be healthy. You don't want to push it. You don't want to push it and in turn have him disgruntled. But from what I saw from a very limited amount that we were able to see on Monday in OTAs and even in a little bit of competitive periods at half speed, Steph Diggs looked great. And if he continues on this pace, he'll be out there week one. And I think it'll be a great addition for this team. How are you feeling about how the Patriots have tried to upgrade the wide receiver room overall since where we sat last year?
Yeah, well, they've definitely tried, right? Like, they've done quite a bit. And I don't know if they've done quite enough yet. Like, I think that I look at the receiver room and I think this is the first step in that room getting a lot better, but it's probably going to take a whole nother offseason. Unless somebody surprises me, like if Jalen Polk bounces back and has a good year or something like that, you know, or
yeah. I would not hang my hopes on that. I'm just going to say that right now. That dude has been limited through every practice, and I don't think I've written down a single note about him where limited Steph Diggs comes out, and it's like, obviously, that's like a big name and everything going around him. There is nothing of note that you're seeing from Jalen Polk. So
yeah,
far.
Or can Mac Hollins replicate the best season of his career, which was under Josh McDaniels in 2022, where he had 690 yards? Like, something like that. But to me, it's still a year away from being a good room, potentially. Like, it's much better than it was, right? Like, Stephon Diggs is better than anyone they had last year. You could make the case Mac Hollins is as good or better than anyone they had last year.
Do you think that, okay, can I be honest? Like, I watched Mac Hollins with the Buffalo Bills, and I only just recently found out, John, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I want your evaluation here. I only just recently found out that he's from the town next to mine in Maryland, where I grew up. I had no idea. I haven't followed a ton of Mac Hollins. He smells to me of some wide receiver who, like, can be good in the red zone and has, like, special teams origin stories. Like, is he going to be a serious piece of this offense, or is he, like, a rah-rah veteran guy who has a great personality and is going to be a nice presence in the locker room?
Well, when I say he's as good as anyone you had last year, to me, that's more a commentary about how bad they were last year, right? Like, they didn't have anyone last year that threatened defenses at all at the receiver position. And I look at Mac Hollins as a guy, I think he's probably going to start out as their X, and we'll see if someone like Kyle Williams, who I know is smaller than him, but can someone like that overtake him? Or where, you know, how do they want to fit? You know, can Javon Baker all of a sudden put it together, which I don't expect. But that's why I say I think this room is still a year away from being really good. Like, it's going to be better than it was a year ago. I think Diggs is going to be your Z. You'll have Douglas in the slot. Mac Hollins will start as your X. You'll mix in Kyle Williams. But even, and that's a lot better than what you had a year ago, but it's still not, to me, like a really good receiver room. Like, yeah, better does not always equate to good. And that's the way I look at this receiver room. Like, yes, it's going to be better, but then you got, like, Polk and Baker. Can you get one good player combined out of the two of them? I mean, because if you think, like, last year, and we had on the night show in January, we had Chad Graff on, and he said he talked to people in the Patriots front office that thought those two guys were good, and they had a good draft, and they were just coached so poorly last year that that's why they weren't good. And obviously some of that is self-serving and throwing the coaching staff under the bus. But is there truth to that? Was the coaching so bad last year that one out of these two guys can emerge as a good player? And I'd say the same thing about the young offensive linemen and Caden Wallace and Laydon Robinson. You drafted four young offensive players besides Drake May. Can two of them emerge as decent players in your offense, and specifically to the receiver core? Can two, you know, one of those guys be a good player out of the two? Like, I don't know. I'm not super confident, but I think that's really what you're looking for. But it just, and then you have guys like Booty, who I don't know if he's going to make the team. Kendrick Bourne, I love the guy, great locker room guy, but I don't know if he's better than any of the other players that I just mentioned. Then you have Efton Chisholm, who, is he a good young player coming up, or is he the second coming of Zach Sudfeld that, like, people are going to be excited about and he's not going to be. So that's the thing. There's just so many questions. Even Diggs, there's the boat party off the field question, but there's also the on the field. Yeah, he looked good in OTAs, but how is he actually going to look with full pads on coming off that ACL? Like, there's questions about pretty much every single, I'd say outside of DeMario Douglas, there's real questions about every single one of these guys.
Okay, so I want your reaction to my own tears that I put out yesterday. So I didn't put out this goofy pyramid like Chris Sims does with his quarterbacks. I didn't assign numbers, but I at least tried to tell you who I think is making the team at this very early juncture and who's going to be shown the door. So I want, this is my categories, and I want your response, John Lyons, if you think I'm off base with anybody. The first is likely a lock. These are guys who I think are almost certainly going to be on the team from wide receivers. Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I agree.
Kyle Williams.
Agree.
DeMario Douglas.
Agree.
Mac Hollins.
Agree. And that's the thing is, like, that's four guys right there.
You've got six spots maybe on the team.
And I was just going to say, exactly right. I think at max we're talking about six spots, and these are four guys right there that I would agree with you. I think the unless barring injury or some crazy disaster happening in training camp, these four guys are going to be on your roster come week one.
These are the three that I say are a long shot. I just don't really see a universe in which these guys are seriously going to make it. John Giles, practice player from last season. Jeremiah Webb, undrafted free agent from South Alabama. And Demir Blankumsey.
Oh, good pronunciation there.
Is an undrafted free agent from Memphis. I'm hoping I'm getting that right. So here are the guys who are your bubble fighting for a spot. This is where the real competition comes in. You mentioned Kayshon Booty. Kayshon Booty has been, through these OTAs at least, kind of a major target. He's been somebody who has certainly been getting big opportunities. I think that they like some attributes about Kayshon Booty, and they just want to give him a chance to see what he can do because he can play the perimeter, and is he going to be able to work his way onto this roster when he was the second most productive receiver last year, again, in a bad room. I think Kayshon Booty has
I just worry, I don't think he gets it in terms of what it really takes to be a pro. And, like, you go back to, okay, he gets arrested for sports gambling connected to LSU. Then last year, he's complaining publicly about scheme and play calls after games. And then Mike Vrabel made this kind of side comment about Booty working his way into shape at OTAs, which is a nice way of saying he showed up out of shape to OTAs. So it's like, the evidence, and look, I know he was productive last year. He had almost 600 yards. He had three touchdowns. Drake May's first touchdown against Houston. It was great. It was fun. But I just don't think, like, I look at that room and, like, I don't know if he gets it enough to be a pro. And I would not be, like, I think obviously you have Diggs over him. I think you have DeMario Douglas over him. You probably have Mac Hollins kind of close to him.
But he's, like, got guaranteed money.
Like,
so he's
exactly. But, like, I could see Kyle Williams surpassing him on the depth chart. I could see potentially Kendrick Bourne now fully healthy, like a full year back from that ACL. And Kendrick Bourne, a guy that had 800 yards receiving in Josh McDaniels' offense in 2021, like, I could see maybe him surpassing or being right there neck and neck with him. So, like, my concerns with Kayshon Booty is I think people hang on to the 40-yard touchdown against Houston, the touchdown against Buffalo, which was an amazing throw by Drake May. I think people hang on to that, and those were fun plays. They were big plays. But I think when you look at the whole package, I just worry. Like, I don't think this guy gets it as far as what it really takes to be a high-end pro, and that's just not what you want in that receiver room, especially with so many young players in that room.
I agree. I think he kind of falls to me into the same area as Kendrick Bourne, where maybe Kendrick has a leg up because he did have a pretty successful season with Josh McDaniels back in 2021. But then he goes through a period where he really clashes with the coaching staff in 2022. He has an ACL tear, and it takes him a really long time to come back and look like a semblance of himself. Even if those two guys show out this summer, I feel like they could both be trade chips. I feel like they could both be somebody that the team looks at and says, like, they're not. I don't think either one of them are really seriously part of the Drake May development.
And I think a lot of that hinges
or
on
any of it going forward.
Sorry to cut you off. I think a lot of that hinges on Polk and Baker, right? Like, if Jalen Polk, and I know you've said he hasn't looked good at OTA, but let's just say he has a really good training camp. Or let's say Javon Baker, who to me is the most inconsistent player in the receiver room, let's say he puts it together and has a good training camp. The Patriots are going to give one of those guys a spot I think over Booty or Bourne if all else is equal. I mean, Polk was a second-round draft pick. Baker was a fourth-round pick, but he's only in his second year. Like, I think the Patriots are going to bet on one of those. If it all comes down to it and everything's equal in training camp, the Patriots are going to bet on, I think, one of those guys from last year that they drafted as opposed to Bourne or Booty.
I think Efton Chisholm is going to steal somebody's spot.
Chisholm could be another one, right? Like, let's say he is good.
I think the kid, he caught 7 balls on Monday. He caught his one target from Drake May. He was able to run with the ones when Kendrick Bourne was out. I think that he has, like, classic, prototypical, as our friend Phil Perry likes to say, Patriot, written all over him. You can say you think he's more Amendola or you think he's more Edelman. He's got, like, this powerful little running body. He's a quick cutter. He runs hard. How that will look when the team is full speed, I don't know yet. But I think that he is definitely the spoiler. Like, he is the one to watch who's going to surprise everybody and jump in on here. And maybe it's even just earning a little bit of that special teams reps. We'll see. But I think that he's going to find his way onto the 53.
And we've seen Josh McDaniels be willing to use two more slot-type guys, whether it was Edelman and Amendola together. We've seen him willing to do that. So DeMario Douglas, to me, is the slot, and he's the guy. But could there be packages where McDaniels looks at it and says, I want Chisholm and Douglas on the field together, or just Chisholm as, yeah, special teamer, but also insurance in case Douglas gets hurt? Like, that could be part of the calculus as well here.
And also, where is Diggs playing? That's the other question, is depending on how he looks, where his speed and explosiveness is at. Like, at some point you do look at it and go, like, oh my God, everybody's playing inside. Where are we going? We're going to continue our Patriots talk on the other side. We've been so focused on the wide receivers. Where else do the Patriots need to improve, and what are we looking at from mandatory minicamp, which starts on Monday? We'll hit that right on the other side.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
All right, we spent about, 15, maybe almost 20 minutes talking about the wide receiver room because I am so obsessed with it. But first of all, John Lyons, are you going to be joining me at all at Mandatory Minicamp this week? I know you have several professional
I hope to.
Obligations outside of that. You're like a real grown-up, so you don't get to sit at camp like an idiot with the rest of us.
I will be there in training camp multiple times. I'm hoping to get out there to mini camp. We'll have to see.
Training camp, you definitely get much more. And that's why it's fun that that's open to the public. For mandatory mini camp, it is just a little bit more extension of what we've been seeing through OTAs, except everybody has to be there. And hopefully your team has a little bit more under the belt in terms of their learning process. So outside of wide receivers and looking at what Drake May is able to do with everybody in attendance, what are you looking for from these next couple of days?
So I wish I could sit here and tell you, Mego, that I'm looking for Will Campbell to actually block guys off the edge, but it's, you know, there's no path, you know, it's not
there's
even
no,
like real.
There's no way to evaluate that. Like, I love people saying coming out of this, well, it looks like Will Campbell's holding his own. It's
how
like,
how do you
yeah,
know that?
The footwork looks fine. Like, he doesn't look like he's lost in terms of where he's supposed to be, but we don't know. We don't know what his strength is against these linebackers or anybody.
I really think minicamp should be full pads, especially since they've watered down training camp so much in the last 10 years, but that's a whole separate discussion. So
you're anti-player safety as well?
No, I think the NFL is anti-player safety because they have 17 games and one bye week. Uh-huh. Like, a few minicamp practices won't make a difference on that. So I look at it as, again, Will Campbell's the biggest thing I'm watching probably in training camp itself. Same with the, you know, Milton Williams and the defensive line. This time I want to see, kind of like we talked about earlier with Drake May and the receivers, like, are they more and more on the same page and are they limiting some of the turnovers? Because we saw, again, at the beginning of OTAs, there was some turnover issues. But again, new offense, young quarterback, and it's not just a new offense for the quarterback. It's a new offense for everyone. So have they made progress from there? Do they look sharp? Do they look on the same page? Because without pads, that's kind of all you can really tell. Is do these guys look like they're all on the same page? They get it. The ship is sailing in the same direction for everyone. I mean, you can, I guess, see some competitive coverage snaps with Gonzalez, with Carlton Davis. You know, how does slot corner look with Marcus Jones in there potentially? So those are some of the things I'm looking at. But again, it's just, I think it's so dumb that they don't have pads for these mini camps. So it kind of ruins some of my fun.
It would be more fun for us from the outside looking in. I think that my evaluation is more about the consistency of who's playing with who. And honestly, from the perspective of the Patriots, like, we can't get hyper-specific. We're not supposed to about who's consistently lining up in your offensive line left to right and what does that look like. But do you feel like you're working towards something, especially with that line? Do you feel like you have a concept of where the pecking order is with the wide receivers? Do you feel like you know where your starters are at any position? Because I do think that since you have so many new faces and you have new concepts, maybe returning for some guys like Ramondre Stevenson on offense, but a full new coaching staff, they're still in the learning period, but I would like for them, by the time that they're going into the stretch that's a breakaway before training camp, to have some idea of, like, this is the core of our team.
I think another thing, too, that kind of connects to that is just how do they structure these practices? Because I think last year, you go back on the Mayo regime, things just didn't always seem as dialed in as they needed to be. And you can talk about the Matt Judon temper tantrum in training camp and there being no real consequences.
And they haven't had that.
And that's the thing. And so they had the Diggs thing off the field. But when they've been there and they've been on the field and they've been talking to the media themselves, everything seems much more on the same page than it was a year ago or even 8 months ago during the season. So do things, again, like I said, does the ship look like it's going in the same direction for everyone? And your point about who's playing with who, is there a consistent one group on the offensive line at least lining up? Is there a, because remember last year, all the different offensive line, they had to cycle through it even the year before. Is there a consistent top three receivers when they go 11 personnel? Like, is it, you know, Diggs and Mac Hollins and Douglas, or is it somebody else or three other guys? I don't know. Like, is there a consistent group of guys. How much does Travion Henderson line up and take snaps with the first group? Because he's a guy that I think has a chance to play a lot this year as a rookie. So those, to your point, I think those are good things to look for. Like, who is where and who is with who and how do things look? Because, again, that, to me, heading into training camp might give you a clue on some of their plans for not just the team as a whole, but especially their offense.
Yeah, the running back room, as you pointed out, we haven't talked a ton about because, again, another group that I think you can evaluate the way that they move and where they're playing and who they're playing with, but you watch so many of these plays when it's shells and shorts and you go, that would have been blown up.
And a guy like Henderson, so, the biggest thing I'm watching is how does he go between the tackles? And you can't really look at that at all right now.
Exactly.
Like, we know he's fast. We know he can catch the ball. Like, okay.
But it'll be fun to see how Josh McDaniels is lining guys up, if it's going to be this 1-2 punch already, if they're like already looking forward to that with Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson. And then where does that put Antonio Gibson? Are they going to have the traditional third down back that you see so many Josh McDaniels systems have and that they haven't had here recently? So there's going to be a lot to look forward to with mandatory minicamp coming up this week. But as Jason Tatum just surfaced and tweeted to the world, he said it's day 25. Days are getting easier. So we hear from Jason Tatum. Sounds like his spirits are lifting a little bit. That just happened in the last hour. That's the most exciting thing that's happening in the Celtics world because they exited the NBA playoffs weeks ago. We're going to look ahead and see, why does everyone keep bringing Giannis around to the Celtics in these conversations? And is that something that you guys actually want in Celtics Nation? We'll hit the NBA right after this break.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.